Hello, everyone, and welcome in to Cash Game Week here on the Gilcast. You are either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed, the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed, or Peter Overzet's beautiful YouTube channel. I am Davis Maddock. I am joined, of course, by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling, but also our special guest, the cash game coward himself, Peter Overzet. He just hit optimize on the establish the run projections and just inputted that into $7,500 worth of cash games and just duped everyone. The cash game coward himself joined us.
Isn't that the whole bit, guys, that you don't actually have to do anything for cash games? You just run the optimal 2 minutes before lock, put it in, and just have a great day, and now we celebrate with an Amstel Light?
A little bit more of a science, Pete. A little bit more.
I was supposed to do more than that?
Week 18.
No, apparently not.
Week 18 is a little bit of an art, and I mean, honestly, the person who did the most artwork actually was Nathaniel Noling running out one of the worst. This is like when your child does finger painting and brings it up to you and is like, are you proud of what I did? And you have to come up with something nice to say, because in the end the result was what was assigned, but they took a very circuitous route.
Yeah, and then it wins an award in kindergarten. They put it at the front of the class. They're like, this is a masterpiece.
You guys just didn't know how to adapt to the Week 18 news. And I think that's...
I think you just got too stuck in your ways. Honestly,
you got too stuck in your ways of just hitting optimize through 17 weeks. And you got to think a little bit, Davis.
Oh, okay. Well, guys, these are how the scores lined up. Nathaniel Noling, Nate, and I mean, if any of you guys found him, if any of you guys were able to find Nate this week to send him an invite, 164.44 points.
Pete, did you guys hear about this? We figured out that if you type in Nate's email, it'll pull up. If you do nate.noling@gmail.com, you can locate him in the search, and he's willing to dox his email for like two extra head-to-head invites a week.
Nate's going to get an extra $5 invite every week now that we have officially doxed his email. So Nate scores 164.4 points. Nate, how owned was Kenneth Gainwell in the massive $50 double up? Were you the only person who played him?
He was 6.5.
great GPP play, Nate. That was really
it was Nate and Philly Fanatic 0614 who played Kenneth Gainwell.
The best part about Nate's pushback to Kenneth Gainwell is it was directly related to Pierre Strong, and he literally did the Pierre Strong game, like the exact same game.
Like
minus
the same. I think they both got 60 something rushing yards. Yeah.
They 65 to 62.
Absolutely classic. Pete clicked optimize on the establishtherun.com optimal. He scored 160.94 points. Pete, what percentage of your games do you think you were duped in? Just like from a quick eyeballing, how many of your games were you duped in?
So I'll give you a frame of reference. So we had the Deposit Kingdom rake free double up. It was 300 entries, and there was a 50 person train of my lineup in just that contest, in a 300 person contest. So I haven't gone through even the screenshot I posted. I don't think it bakes in my dupe.
It doesn't.
Yet.
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. So Nate, so that goes to it just goes to zero.
Dude, Pete's rake back check is going to be like a supernova elite type of deal. Just like, dude, here's a metric fuck ton of your rake back, homie. Merry Christmas.
So, Sammy and I basically looked at that giant dupe train and we said, giant dupe train in week 18.
I'd rather finish in the caboose. That's what you
said. I'd rather finish. Well, I also knew I got some of the softest action ever. Like I got 9 109s this week and went 6-3 in them. So that saved me. My team was shit. I got $1,900 worth of action this week, and I got $1,300 back. So thank you to the community for continuing to keep me afloat and making sure that my family doesn't go hungry. We played a 2v2, Sammy, off of the, I mean, it's got to be the most dupe team of the entire season, biggest train out there. We played DJ Moore and Noah Gray over Chris Olave and what's the tight end's name? Johnny Munt.
I mean, you know, we just figured, what is the 2023 season without finishing it up by losing some money with a Kansas City?
Did Noah Gray even play a snap?
Holger played all the snaps.
Yeah, he got four targets. He just really? He sucks. Yeah,
but it turns out he's just Noah Gray.
It turns out he's Noah Gray.
Yeah.
Well, and by that he got promoted to the Kelsey role in the offense, which means also doing jack fuck.
Yeah, that's not a compliment anymore.
Okay. So obviously these were the locks in cash games. Mullins was a lock. Mason was a lock. Strong was a lock. Lamb was a lock. Jefferson was a lock. Think Zamir White was a lock. So that left wide receiver three, tight end, and defense up for debate. Now, obviously, if you're filtering, if for whatever reason you weren't playing Pierre Strong and you went full Nate Nolan, we'll get to the artistry that was Nate's lineup a little bit earlier.
Nate's lineup is just completely on crack, but I think there was definitely a case to not have Pierre Strong.
But he had Tutu Atwell in there. I lost
it. Tutu Atwell play. It's just, how did you get to Atwell? There were like 9 3K wide receivers.
So Tutu was like probably 10 minutes before the late games locked. And I was just looking at the because I had Richie James, and I was looking at the 2-2 thing. And I was like, they're going to sit Puka within two plays. They're going to get Puka in there, get his targets. And I'm going to get 2-2 Atwell running. The Rams were going to throw. And I just had a much, much higher passing rate than the Chiefs. And I was like, I want 2-2. So I swapped to 2-2 over Richie James at the last second, but it wasn't like, I mean, it was like a 2-point projection difference.
Davis, at what point in the day did Nate tell us, I think Richie James is the guy you need? Was that on the
podcast? That was at like noon. Yeah.
Now, I think we were on the show and he's just sitting there looking at his fucking Whopper spreadsheet. And I don't even know. Because I was thinking, so actually the reason why I thought the 3K wide receiver team was no good was because I kind of thought I just have no faith in Justin Ross. I think he ended up would have been playable. But I wanted to play Richie James, but I actually thought Richie James might not play that much on offense because he's the kick and punt returner. And they played him a little bit in each of the last two games. So I thought maybe they would save him a little or just not view him as a guy who was a second stringer. And the other 3K wide receivers were just too in flux, like Charlie Jones, Yoshi, David Bell, like all these guys who smashed for tournaments. I don't know. I mean, they all ended up better than Noah Gray, but I wasn't playing fucking Chris Olave in week 18 cash, dude. That's not how I was going out.
DJ Moore is like the worst version of the Chris Olave play. Like, what do you mean you're not playing Chris Olave in week 18?
Pete, have you not seen the tweets of the game logs from DJ Moore?
DJ Moore was a great play. DJ Moore was a great play, but this is cash game week.
Yeah,
well, DJ Moore was a great play.
When we looked at the box score after Q3 of Packers Bears and saw that JF1 had 9 pass attempts.
He had at the end of the third quarter, Justin Fields had completed 8 passes and taken 4 sacks.
You guys are recency bias fish. If his Arizona game and Atlanta game were flipped, you guys wouldn't have even been considering.
No, I definitely would not have played.
DJ Moore comes into most games with above a 30% target share projection, where like Chris Olave is sitting probably around 25, 26 and like has upside of seeing DJ Moore targets. But DJ Moore like is a very different level of alpha than Olave.
I'm not feeling that good about Nate being on our side.
Yeah, this is actually not helping our cause. I mean, Chris Olave got 3 targets on 28 Derek Carr pass attempts. That's less than, 1 out of 9?
Olave got bailed out with
some unbelievable efficiency. Like,
he had 14.6 on 3 targets.
Well, really, if you look at the 2v2 that we did, though, the part that we fucked up was not the Olave versus Moore part. That was a draw. It was that Munt was going to play on this team that was going to throw for 900 yards. And what we psyoped ourselves into thinking it was a fine fade because Josh Oliver got paid 3 years, $21 million. Like,
wow. And then he caught the first pass. He caught the first pass and it was like, yes.
Yeah. Send Munt to zero immediately.
Not great.
genuinely, I was surprised. And I know, like, I love Evan Engram and I'm looking for an excuse to play him. But when Kirk got ruled out, I mean, he shot up in all of my stuff. Like, he was right there with McBride, almost the similar projection to McBride, and he was $600 cheaper. So I was like, this gives me a way to not punt off at tight end and to avoid what I thought were really, really low floors with Gray and Munt.
Every site, every projection system, Cardi, RotoGrinders, regular points, establish the run, all the sites have the same optimal. Every place had the same
optimal. Is it? I have a question about that, because all of the people who beat me, all of the screenshots have James Conner. I was like, where was this James Conner stuff coming from?
He was the most owned player after Jefferson and Lamb in everything.
And I'm saying, where did that come from if it was in no one's optimal?
I think everyone just touted him. I think that was like your classic literal word of mouth, like, you know, James Conner, he's getting, you know, like, I mean, you know, fucking touts. Like,
I didn't listen to any content this week, so I didn't hear any Steve.
I go from what people say in the Deposit Kingdom, like what they, because I don't really engage with a bunch of other content either, and they all said all the touts were on Conner.
Okay.
And Connor like laid the pipe too. He had like 200 freaking yards.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked Connor in tournaments, but I was shocked to see Connor at 30%.
He was even owned in cash. Connor was.
Dude,
what I'm saying. Everyone who beat me had Connor, and there were tons of people.
So what? You just played Connor straight up over Zamir? That's it.
Connor was the third highest owned running back in cash. It was Zamir White at 63. Pierre Strong at 50, and then Connor was at 30. I mean, Connor.
Where was Gainwell?
that's part of where the edge is in Week 18. Most people don't adapt, you know.
I mean, I will say this: I really thought that playing a like actual good running back with who is going to get a bunch of work, you know. And
I thought that was interesting too, but I would have faded
instead of Pierre Strong. I thought. I mean. As it turns out, Jordan Mason just played backup. I mean, we're lucky to get any Jordan Mason points.
Yeah, that was weird.
So I guess my question for you, Nate, because a lot of people, and like if you were looking at optimals, it seemed the decision was if you were playing Mullins, were you getting up to McBride? Like, did you consider if I'm paying $5,400 for Engram to just get up to McBride?
Yeah, but when Gainwell became like the guy that I wanted, I couldn't get McBride.
What did you need for McBride? 600?
Lucky fucking bastard, Nate.
Yeah, McBride was like an extra 600, I think.
So you were 100 off coming from Atwell to a punt, 3K, and Bengals down to Chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like $100 away, I think. And it was – so, yeah, I was pretty close to the McBride team. But I still, with how this played out, Gainwell was the right play. Like – Gainwell was the starting running back for the Philadelphia Eagles. Like,
Nate, you're just holding a new streak of not taking L's. It's like you took one last week.
Pierre Strong was going to outscore him if he didn't leave early.
No.
Pierre Strong was going to get literally probably 20 touches, and Nate
on one of the most inefficient offenses that we've seen in how many years?
They scored,
have you watched this Eagles team?
Buddy, they scored more points than the Eagles, straight up.
The run out, obviously, was bad for Gainwell, but like...
What run out?
The fact that the Eagles didn't score. Yes.
No. Come on, dude. Come on, Nate.
No. The Eagles had a
he's not
10 point higher implied total than the Browns. I mean, this was like
we told
this was
him
a spot where
we
the Eagles should have scored so much that I was worried that Gainwell would get benched at half because they would have scored 4 touchdowns. It was the opposite.
Well, the Cowboys part of it did come through where the Cowboys were smoking them the entire point. So even if, let's say theoretically, the Eagles were up 17-3 at half or whatever. And then their coaches, you know, get the message from upstairs. Hey, the Cowboys are up 24-10. Like, let's chill out.
No one projected this game to go that way. Like,
The playing time thing was, regardless of the scoreline discrepancy one way or the other, the result was always it was predetermined, which was that the Eagles starters were never going to play four quarters. There really wasn't an out. The only outcome that you could have gotten the Eagles starters playing four quarters was an outcome where the Commanders were beating the Cowboys.
Or it was close.
And yeah, if it would have been close, Gainwell would have been.
You guys are forgetting. You guys, your third eye, Nate, your third eye couldn't have been more closed. Josh Harris bought the Commanders. You thought he was going to live in a world where he gave up Drake May because Ron Rivera wanted to win his final game? He had snipers posted everywhere. The Commanders were not winning this game, brother. It was not happening.
Nate, I can't believe you're not going to take the you're not going to take the L on Kenneth Gainwell. Like, it was never going
to happen. This is an easy L to take, Nate, because you won. Like, you beat us all.
Yeah, take the L when you win.
No, I'd do it again. I would play Gainwell again. Gainwell is an NFL talent.
I know you would do it again, Nate. That's the thing.
Gainwell is an actual NFL talent who is going to start for an efficient offense that is going to win the ball.
Pretty fine.
Pierre Strong is a third-string running back behind Kareem Hunt. Pierre Strong couldn't get touches this year behind Kareem Hunt, Jerome Ford, and Nick Chubb. To say that he's an NFL talent is insane. I mean, Kenneth Gainwell legitimately has a proven career of being a unbelievably
efficient running back with limited touches. The guy that projections were wrong on, though, was LaMichael Pirine. LaMichael Pirine is your classic week 18 spot where.
But Pacheco was active, right?
Well, yeah, they didn't call anyone up. Same thing with the Browns. It was literally the same situation as the Browns. They didn't call anyone up. I think Clyde ended up getting like three carries. Clyde got two carries. Pirine had 21 rushes and four targets. So that's got to be the most work anyone got today other than Breece Hall. And
can we talk about how dumb some Aaron of these Jones. Coaches I are? Browns watch their backup running back, who they started to preserve their starter. They watch him get hurt, and their response is to put Jerome Ford in to get carries. That's your response to watching your backup running back get hurt in a meaningless game. Dan Campbell doing it all day. Let's have Laporta go off. Oh, Khalif Raymond, let's toss you on the injury heap. But, you know, we got momentum going into the fucking playoffs.
They played the starters the whole way. They never took them out. I think the Cowboys didn't even ever put Cooper Rush. I think the Cowboys never put Cooper Rush in. 38-10. And they got to Cooper Rush got two series at the end. Nine carries for Dowdle. I mean, honestly, you could argue Dowdle probably is the more important one to keep healthy for the playoffs. Yeah. But Dak threw 36 times in a 38-10 win against the Commanders. I mean, a little insane.
So speaking of Dak, I think one thing I was staring at like all week, right? It's like there's all this value. Is there a quarterback you can get up to so you don't have to play Nick Mullins? Like, I appreciated the Nick Mullins thesis. I got it. I ended up there. But I'm like, I really wanted to click Hurts or Dak. Like, I really wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, but that necessitated Christian Kirk. Where Kirk, you didn't have to think about it. Like, with any 3K wide receiver, I don't care who your favorite 3K was. Mine would have ended up not getting there because it was a Chiefs guy. But it doesn't matter if your guy was David Bell. Doesn't matter if you're.
Was David Bell on anyone's radar?
No, I think Tillman was though. I think people I think people did actually play Tillman. But the point being was that those lineup constructions made. I think it was actually just a straight up, almost just a 1v1 Mullins versus like a lot. I think Mullins versus Olave and Dak 3K was a straight up 1v1.
I was never playing anybody but Mullins. Like, even when we had Kirk, like I had my shell all completed last night. I felt real good about it. You know, it was always Christian Kirk, because then you could go up at tight end instead. And I thought going up at tight end and getting McBride was more important than going up, because you're in the dome. You know, you're playing the Lions. It's just like, dude, these guys suck.
Dude, that first half though was scary as Mullins backers there.
No, yeah, that's the Mullins. That's the Mullins first half you want, because the only thing you were really fading with Mullins was a benching, and he wasn't playing bad. I think he had 190 passing yards.
He just kept taking sacks.
Yeah, but ultimately with Kevin O'Connell, I mean they want to pass. They are a pass first team, and I think that's the only risk, is that he would throw a few too many interceptions and get benched. But like, there was no chance that they weren't going to get the passing volume. And so that's where, like, he's not similar to some of these other dust ball quarterbacks that people were thinking about, where those teams just are okay running the ball. You know,
Kevin O'Connell, it's not like playing Taylor Heineke or something like that in cash. It's very different.
Yeah. Or like people were talking Chiefs. I mean, it was all the other quarterbacks were not nearly projecting.
It's just kind of it was just kind of a boring slate to think about. Like, a lot of times in week 18, the spots are not going to be this clear, but it's like CD, you literally, like, it wasn't hard to fit him. I think CD was projected as the highest skill position player by like 3 points over everyone. And then the next Delta was Justin Jefferson. And then the next Delta after that was like Rashad White, who was like 4 points worse. So like, if you showed up without Jefferson and Lamb, like, what were you doing? Like, there just was no point in playing. So that's everything.
I know Nate disagrees with this, but if I were coming off a running back, and I did also want to get up at one of my running back spots, for me, it was getting off of Jordan Mason, because the Eli Mitchell stuff being active like spooked me. Watching Gus Edwards fucking last night getting all these carries, I'm like, what if the Niners just do this with Eli Mitchell? And they kind of did. And but the problem
they straight up did. It wasn't even kind of, like, it just was.
Who was the guy? Like, I talked about it with Nate last night, and it's like, yeah, Pollard looks fine, Brees looks fine, and obviously in retrospect, those guys.
It would have been Rashad White for me, which would have
to
been
get up to. But I was like, if there was one slam dunk guy, I was so ready to get off of Mason.
It was Aaron Jones.
I
genuinely think it was. I thought it was.
I gotta give Nate his props. He wanted us to play Aaron Jones against you guys, and we were just like, dude, Aaron Jones never gets there.
But he has been getting there. The workload over the past 3 weeks has been there. AJ Dillon was out. He's a actually efficient, like, per touch guy. And so when you projected him with above 20 touches, like, we should have been jamming in Aaron Jones. Like,
I think that's, I think
to me, like, Aaron Jones falls into that DJ Moore bucket, right? Where it's like, you know, the range of the workload is going to be good, but we also know that the range of outcomes for them is wider than what makes a cash game king feel comfortable.
This is how I'll put it. It's like when you play someone like that, DJ Moore or Aaron Jones or whatever in cash, and you get away with it, you know, you got away with it. You're like, played that one fast and loose. Like, but that's actually always how I feel with Olave too. Like, anytime I play Olave in cash and he does do the Olave thing, I'm like, shouldn't have done that. But you know,
yeah, because they don't scheme up like easy stuff for Olave at all. Like, ever. He doesn't get any gimmies.
His A dot has been smaller this year. They scheme him over all over the place. It's just the offense has been so inept. And like every time Derek Carr gets to the 40-yard line, it's like he gets electrocuted. And it's like you can't go any further. I don't know. I think you're underselling a lot. I feel like Olave's in that DJ Moore territory as far as his market share when things are rolling.
Let's hear some Whopper numbers, Nate.
I mean, he has been in the past, but I would say like DJ Moore right now in this Bears offense is a step above. Like,
the Whopper's better.
Yeah.
Did you consider one of them was playing in a dome and the other wasn't, Nate? Did you factor that into your Whopper pipe?
Not sure. I'm not sure if Nate has the dome boner that Cardi has.
Nate's got a giant dome boner, but Nate really has been giving a lot of like player talent takes this year, which I just think is super interesting.
It's true. That's actually so true. It's like the most that Nate has ever been like, this guy's good and this guy's not good ever.
Yeah.
Well, I do think I have noticed like there are some, I have been projecting more guys to have above average efficiency than usual. And normally that regresses heavily. So
four straight weeks of playing Tony Pollard that made you think maybe the individual talent of these guys matters more to their individual projections than I originally thought?
It was pretty funny. I was looking at Tony Pollard this morning and I was like, what if I cut out my multi-year sample on Tony Pollard and I just input 2023 data? And he literally dropped He literally dropped to like, it was like below 4.5 yards. It was like, this is brutal. He's been
I think he like broke bad. Like expected points models.
Yeah. This year. He's been real bad.
Yeah, they're going back to the back testing the expected points guys. They're saying, you know what? Let's run this back. Let's try to refine this a little bit. There's some mistakes made. Tony Pollard, and he actually like had a good game today. I mean, it wasn't like that good. But
well, he had a classic 2023 Tony Pollard game. He got 16.4 points. You know, just classic. That's about as good as he can do.
What? Yeah. So what was Breece Hall and Rashad White was 7,600. What was Breece Hall? 7,200.
I think he was like my third. I looked at him once.
My top guy was Zamir White. Then it was Aaron Jones. Then it was Breece Hall, like a per dollar ranking. Breece Hall was just too expensive for like builds. It was really weird to get to him. So,
but if you're finding your way up to DJ Moore, maybe find an extra 200 in the couch cushions, boys.
Yeah. Well, tough scene. I never play Breece Hall because Breece Hall like also has a lot of games where he scores 1.6 points. You know,
well, remember when we didn't play Breece Hall 2 weeks ago and we all played Garrett Wilson instead? What a bad end to the year for me. Still my best year ever in cash, but just ending it.
No, it really went downhill with like 4 weeks to go when you were like, guys, you know, we are just crushing.
Well, it's just acknowledging that we were running too. This is the last thing I want to talk about. To me, and I'm willing to argue about this, and maybe I'm wrong. But in a spot,
to set up something you're about to say.
Something Nate would never say, by the way.
I'm willing to argue about this, but I'm probably wrong. Continue.
I don't think I'm wrong, but I might be wrong. Ultimately, I think sacrificing a literal point, which is what DJ Moore and Noah Gray was versus Olave and Munt, to be unduped versus a field that like, I mean, people were posting all these screenshots of like scrolling through their games and it was just all dupes. What was it? 160.94 points. Like to know that I'm going to be completely unique against everyone, but literally Sammy in all my games. And that if I outscore that 2v2 by 0.1 points in the end, I'm going to win 95% of my games. I think ultimately to me, that is probably worth it.
Nate?
Yeah, Nate, what do you think? Nate's going to say no.
I'm going to say no because like in double ups, yes. But I would say most of your action isn't coming from double ups. Like I would say, I'd guess 65 to 70% of your action is coming in head to heads. So in head to heads.
Now, does it change your thinking to know that the people playing me in head to heads are still probably projected like 3 to 4 points worse than?
Well, that's even more.
That's even worse. That's when you don't want to get.
Oh, you're right. That is worse.
So like you're when you play head to heads, what you're doing is like you're facing a totally different distribution than you would be in cash games.
Here, let me read to you. This is the favorite one that someone played against me today. This one's pretty good.
Is this the Jordan Addison guy from the 109?
Yes. This is the Jordan Addison guy. Kyler Murray, Tony Pollard, Zamir White, Tyler Lockett, Greg Dortch, Jordan Addison, Trey McBride, Aaron Jones, Raiders defense.
Greg Dortch? What was Greg Dortch's salary?
4,600.
46, yeah.
So in,
Greg Dortch
in a
nine-man...
In a nine-man lineup, he found two guys who were like remotely in play, like remote. Like that lineup probably, I would guess, projects 8 points worse than.
Yeah. So then, when you have some of your action like that, you should not be giving up.
I should not be giving up any points.
So yeah. No, the train discussion is really just double ups. But honestly, if you're playing like those only the single entry double ups, you're only getting a couple $100 worth of action in your double ups anyway. Like. There's just DK doesn't post. You can't get $1,000 down on single entry double ups. Like
no, you can't.
So let me ask Davis and Sammy as actual, you know, cash game grinders. I legitimately thought it was hilarious and also made me very queasy to have a double stack in my cash game lineup. Like, did that factor into your decision at all? Like, I don't want to be this exposed to Munt. It was completely independent of that.
Yeah,
because it was such a nut spot.
That was for me. I didn't want to have too many. When it was close, I would rather kind of spread.
Rather not.
I guess if it's, I honestly didn't think about it for a second because I was like, Nick Mullins is throwing for 300 yards in this spot like 97% of the time. Nick Mullins was Cardi's quarterback one of the whole slate.
Was he really?
Yes.
No, I think in the projection update, there was a couple that ended up ahead of him. But for a while, he had him straight up projected over Dak.
But like, Nick Mullins has started in this spot at home twice, and he's had 412 yards and 390 yards. Like, that's
the game he got benched, he threw for 400 yards.
It's just what they want to do. So the only reason I didn't play why I just thought Noah Gray and Munt were pretty close, and I thought DJ Moore was better than Olave.
The projections weren't that different on them. On Gray.
No, your point, your team
point when you're projecting for like 140 something. I thought it was negligible.
So what do you know what would have pushed me to it in the 2v2s I was actually looking at late is if I could have gotten, I was 100 off from going Gray Patriots D off of Chargers and Munt. And I know that the Chargers like projected as a great value, but like my IKB was like, I did not want the Chargers D. And I'm like, if I could get, I would have made that switch. I guarantee you if I had the 100 to get up to a Patriots D.
Yeah, I didn't like Chargers defense the last 3 weeks has projected like really well. And I'm just like, I mean, it's the Chargers defense. Like,
yeah, that team has given up. Like, they keep projecting Austin Eckler for like 16 points. And it's like, no,
six carries for 3 yards later.
It's like this team has completely given up hope of life. They're stranded on a desert island. It's been 5 years. Like, they're not getting off. They're done. Yeah.
So, Davis, did you consider swapping today? Did you end up pulling any swaps in any of your head-to-heads?
Oh, that was another thing I liked about our side was it left five swaps because we only have three guys locked early.
We had all the swaps, but then it was like everything was so close. We're like, oh, we just need a
we needed 8 receptions, 114 yards, and a touchdown worth of points out of DJ Moore and Noah Gray to beat the train. And they
did not get close.
No, they combined for 4 receptions and 64 yards.
And to be clear, so we did do the head to head. We just ran the same train lineup. I had the same lineup and everything. And then you guys had the lineup that Davis and Sammy had. Nate, did you make a push? I mean, I haven't gotten to listen to the episode yet.
He made a push for us to play Gainwell, and we said, get the fuck out of here.
Hey, Davis, just to let you know, if you would have played my lineup, we would have won. So if you would have listened to anything I had said,
I
could not have done with the text. Like 12:10 PST, like, guys, I think we need to go to 2-2. I just couldn't.
Oh, my God.
did you bring up Ingram to them on the call, Nate?
No.
I said, when I was looking at stuff, I said, I'm playing Ingram. But it wasn't like I wasn't forcing it because I thought one of Gray or James was sharp. And then I was looking at stuff and the Rams news came later. I mean, there was more news that came with Rams, like inactives and stuff, that it was like 2-2 popped way up.
What's funny is I actually thought Davis Allen was like a pretty good play. And in the end, it wouldn't have mattered, but it would have added 7 points to my lineup, which I don't know, it's probably worth like a couple $100.
I could have used 7 points.
Could have used 7 points.
Let me ask you guys another question. Did Christian Kirk getting ruled out, like, again, completely separating it from the results of how the slate, you know, went, did that make it a better cash game slate or a worse cash game slate?
Way better. Christian Kirk would have been the team
I would have played would have won. The Kirk team would have won.
No,
Christian Kirk would have been the best cash play.
Yeah, you don't want free squares. Like, if you think you're sharp, you don't want free squares.
Buddy, there were 5 free squares, and we fucked up the remaining ones. So I think another free square probably would have been good.
I said, if you think you're sharp.
If Christian Kirk would have played, Davis, you would have just played the same lineup as everybody and bubbled everything. Like, you.
But I would have bubbled and got. I would have done what Pete did. I would have won. I would have beaten the idiots and got refunded versus anyone who had a clue.
That's my business model.
That's what cash games are all about, baby. Like,
that's literally the exercise I'm trying to do. So it would have been. What was the Kirk team was? What was it? Dak, Strong, Mason, Zamir, CD, Jefferson, Kirk, McBride. Raiders D. That was it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was getting up to McBride was the big difference.
Just like literal light work, like just send it in.
right. Nate would have still played Gainwell somehow and dusted us all.
Well, he would have won. Well, jokes on us. He would have won because he would have played Gainwell. He would have played Gainwell over Strong, and he would have played Ingram over McBride, and it would have been a shipper, dude.
That's right. Sometimes I mean, he just can't keep getting away with this dot meme. I mean, Jesus.
Gainwell getting you to McBride only because you didn't have enough money for McBride, Nate. You can't take a W on this one.
He will, though.
No, on the Gainwell thing specifically, I think Gainwell ran bad to only get six here. Gainwell should have had
seven carries, one target, dude. Ran super bad to get six points.
Tough, he literally only played a half of the game.
Which is that was part of the risk. We told you he was only going to play
for an entire different reason.
Because even if he plays, the offense was going to be plays,
so
efficient
that they were going to put up so many points that he would have been involved in so much offensive production that he would have sat. That's a totally different outcome. No.
He would have gotten scavenged at the goal line by Jalen Hurts, just like DeAndre Swift does. Like, it would have been the same shit. Like, he was never getting there ever.
There's really no reality where Kenneth Gainwell has Kenneth Gainwell ever gotten there in a singular NFL game. Like, it's like gotta be no.
No. Do you remember when they trotted him out as their bell cow back in week one? And everyone was like, sucked. Oh shit.
Kenneth Gainwell's like Terrace Marshall. Everyone gets excited about him in the summer every year, and then he does nothing.
What if Kenneth Gainwell's the guy that you need this year in 2023? Like, no.
Kenneth Gainwell. He's been in 50 career games. His career high in scrimmage yards is 78. He's got zero multi TD games.
Nate had him projected for 87.
Yeah, zero
for sure.
Zero multi TD games in his career. I don't know what you. The dude is a third string running back who can't get touches over Boston Scott and DeAndre Swift. I don't know what you want me to say.
They could win me over if he
was strong, Nate.
If he wanted to do the Gainwell pivot off of Mason with Mitchell in, I think you could have won me over. But
I could have gotten on board with fading Mason. Yeah.
The report. Did you see the report, Nate, on Strong before the game where they listed off? I forget the name of the Browns beat reporter, but that. Like, Strong was going to be part of their cohort of starters who were active. Sorry, Jerome Ford, that was active but not going to play. Did you see that report?
Yeah, Sammy mentioned it to me, and that he was warming up with the starters. That did, like, swing things a little bit to me. But the Gainwell thing, like, I felt so sure. I mean, Gainwell literally started. He was the starting running back for the Eagles, and the Eagles had to score to stick.
Yeah, Puka started too, bud.
Man, this is so bad. And Evan Ingram just like caught 10 balls.
Dude, when I pulled that up, and do you know what's also so sick, guys? The only reason Nate beat me is because Tutu got that 2-point conversion.
Yes. Yep.
No, I beat the train by like 5 points.
Because Tutu got 4.3.
Dude, it was that. I'm pretty sure if you take away that 2-point conversion,
you lose by 0.4. You lose by 0.4 if Tutu does not catch the. I'm literally.
Because I had almost literally looking at it.
No,
You beat the train because Tutu fucking Atwell caught a fourth quarter 2-point conversion from fucking Carson Wentz.
I had 164.4. The train had 160.94.
So do the math. Subtract 4.
Can you stop calling it the train and call it Pete's lineup?
Okay. The Cash Game Kings lineup was 4 points worse than mine. If you take away a 2-point conversion, that's minus 2 points.
I'm just all encompassing Tutu fucking Atwell delivering you across the line in a very
undeserved
performance.
This is what Nate does.
I mean, I guess in Nate's defense, and I'm not defending the Gainwell thing, but I mean, what did Richie James end up with? Did any of those?
I guess
Ronnie Bell was the play, right? Ronnie Bell was the like smart punt play.
Well, David
that actually projected fine.
Or Justin Ross had like 3 catches, I think.
2 for 17.
That's 2 for 17 does.
Didn't Ronnie Bell have a TD?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, Ronnie Bell has been that guy this year. He's been Juwan Johnson's backup.
You've been taking him in gauntlet drafts, brother.
I actually have. I've been the guy galaxy braining Jordan Mason and Ronnie Bell because I'm like, why? I'm not going to take Juwan Johnson and Eli Mitchell in every fucking draft.
I think I do legitimately take one of Juwan Jennings and Eli Mitchell in every gauntlet draft.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so how did it be on? I mean, I listen to the Gilcast, but like when I'm not plugged into the Matrix, I don't like how did this slate compare to other, like if right before lock, would you have been like, I'm excited about this slate relative to the rest of this year? Less excited.
I was excited. I thought I was going to win.
Me yeah. too. I thought DJ Moore was going to deliver.
I thought DJ Moore was like legit the blade. Yeah.
Instead, Johnny Munt gave us the blade.
Well, and when Olave only had 14, I think like if you say Olave gets 14, you just tell me that. I'm like, oh, we win. Like we
easy. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, I mean, it's just this is the life of a cash game grinder, Pete. You know, all these slates kind of flow together. You don't get too high, you don't get too low, you just grind on.
Let me ask you guys a question. And I know Nate's answer. But if you guys didn't do this podcast, would you still grind cash games?
I'm retiring tomorrow. If they say if this was not like one of the most popular things that I did, but people like it. So it's fine. And I like it's fun, but it doesn't I'm not playing $10,000 a slate, so the money just is like not that material. Like I can win all year and make like $8,000, you know, because the edges are just not that big.
Nate, you'd be playing this. There was no content. You were just in the darkness of your own home. You're still grinding this.
That's right.
Probably. I mean, I do think there is something to like when you figure it out. I think tournaments, even if you do well in tournaments, it's hard to like take responsibility. Like there's so much variance that went your way. And it's like where in cash games, when you play like 17 weeks versus the same people every week and you just like crush them week after week, it does feel different. I don't know. Like it's a game of skill where it's like tournaments, you lose. And then you have one big day, which covers you for 5 years. And it's like, I don't know. It does feel different.
Still waiting to be covered for this year. Right. still waiting. My year in tournaments. Thank God for cash games. Cause it is not paid for itself. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. 100%. I do have a tournament lineup that I want to share.
Yeah. Do your tournament stuff. I obviously abstained, but you guys should do it.
Yeah. Davis, did you play?
Yeah, I did. I did. I only liked two quarterbacks this week. I kind of had a hard time in tournaments. I played Fields in the red zone. And I played Dak in the other red zone. The Fields lineup obviously was garbage. This was my in the $33. This was a Dak team. I played Dak with CeeDee and Jake Ferguson. No bring back. The running backs I used were Jamal Williams. Hilarious. Got the 1 yard touchdown at the end. Shout out Jameis Winston. I did play Pierre Strong. I did play Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason in tournaments feels terrible. Not only in retrospect, but just should have thought more deeply before about the range. Like just was not good, not smart, just not good, just really not a good way to proceed.
Yeah. Back tested through the Sims and they'll throw this line.
What was he owned in tournaments, did you say?
I mean, he was really owned. Let's see. I just have the lineup page pulled up.
What was Mullins in like the spire of the red zone?
Let me see. Jordan Mason was 22% owned, so not as bad as it could have been, but still not good. Nick Mullins was 19% owned, and Justin Jefferson was 36% owned. So,
mother of all.
And what was Lamb?
Great and small.
Lamb was 40% owned. So kind of hard to win if you don't have the two guys who combined for 80.
Dude, this ended up being such a good week for me to be a cat because I know my galaxy brain ass would have been fading Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb. Got to get in AJ Brown, man. Leverage.
Yeah.
Whoa, easy, buddy. It's a little fresh. The wound is a little
fresh. Did I spoil your tournament team?
Oh, buddy. Let's go. And Davis, you're done here because I
yeah. The only cool thing I did on this team was that I played Wandale, who's just like a fucking baller.
Yeah.
And Calvin Ridley. But yeah. Little min cash action for your boy. No good.
Ooh, you know, congrats.
Obviously.
All right.
Let's, Sammy, let's go.
I only played one tournament lineup this week. I felt very confident that I was going to bank the last slate of the year through this one in the SPY. And I did a Philadelphia double. Jalen Hurts.
With Gainwell, dude?
No, 100% not. No. I wanted to get leverage off the Gainwell fish. I went Hurts.
Gainwell, Steve, that was coming from the Gilcast group chat.
the Hurts. AJ Brown, Dallas Goedert double. Dallas Goedert, 1 for 4 yards, snowflake. AJ Brown, 1 for 9 yards and a fumble lost and a dust knee, snowflake. Jalen Hurts, 1.6 points, snowflake. I did bring it back in this lineup, something I've been doing less and less this year, not with Wandale Goat, but with Darius Slayton. Ooh. The only man who got fire emoji in this lineup.
Is that 3 straight weeks for Darius Slayton, by the way?
Yeah.
He's goated. What a heater.
He's goated.
And of course, the Giants will threaten to cut him over the offseason. He'll come into the season as their wide receiver 5 and he'll end up leading them in receiving yet again next year.
That's how he does it. Okay, so at running back, I played Tony Pollard and Zamir White.
Oh, you can't be helped, dude.
Well, yeah, tough.
I was already contrarian elsewhere.
Yeah, there's more.
What are we doing with Tony Pollard? Best case scenario, Tony Pollard, max outcome is getting you 18.7.
What was his percent?
He was 9.1%.
Okay, that's honestly not too bad.
9.1.
9% of the people have not learned their lesson in week 18. They're still so. I guess that to me is saying that when Tony Pollard is like the scat back on the Los Angeles Rams with Kyron next year, he somehow is going to get drafted in the 11th round of Best Ball Mania 5.
I just figured he owed my ass. He owes me, and I'm like, he's going to pay me back in spades. One of the better performers on this team because. Then I played Jordan Addison and I also had Christian Kirk in here. But when the Kirk news came out, I said, God, I love this lineup so much. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to rework it. I'm just going to take out Christian Kirk and I'm going to put in Khalif Raymond because Khalif Raymond's about to ball. And then I'll have the Addison Khalif Raymond mini, just all the leverage. And Khalif Raymond did get 2 for 50 before leaving with an injury. Jordan Addison scored. I had the Raiders defense. I want you guys to know that this team scored 84.5 points. And out of 2,222, it got 21-19. I almost got dead fucking last in the tournament.
That's how you play GPPs, old, man. First
what was the old sim? What was the old sim ROI on that one? I wonder.
You know, I'm sure it was higher than the actual ROI. So the Sklansky bucks. I think I got a few shekels because, you know, I'm sure the Sims didn't think this was a 99th percentile bad lineup. But you know,
all right,
that's
Nate,
how it turned out. So I ran bad.
I can like literally Nate is about to come to us with like naked Jared Stidham or something nuts.
Tell me you have an Easton stick in you, Nate.
Oh,
I do have an Easton stick, but that's not my best one. That's not my best one. So my best one put up a 68.8.
Wow.
Wait for it. I also went the Jalen Hurts double, but I'm unlike Sammy, I'm not a fish. And so I did a double with Dallas Goedert and Kenneth Gainwell. So
say the line, Nate. Say the line.
So Jalen Hurts, Kenneth Gainwell, Mason, DJ Moore, Jamar Chase, DeAndre Hopkins, Dallas Goedert, P. Ryan, and Rams. So I did go with the LaMichael P. Ryan, felt sharp, but
did he score the most points in your lineup?
This was an abomination of a lineup. I mean, it was so many snowflakes.
Where did it finish?
68 points. 11-23 out of 11-33. I'm guessing 10 people didn't submit a lineup.
What contest was that?
That was in the 50K red zone.
Mm. Yeah, 10 people just held their place and forgot to put something in. That's incredible.
How many people ran the train in like the red zone and the spy? Because Leone said a couple people had that in the dome.
Yes, like a lot of people. Like I'm looking at it. I'm looking just at
these people can't be helped.
No, I'm just clicking around and stuff right now.
Yeah, these people are fish. What you got to do is get some Gainwell, Jalen Hurts in your lineups, and then you know that's how you win these things.
Well, Jalen Hurts has just been checking down to his running backs at an absurd clip this year, so you know
it's kind of like what he's known for. Yeah. Sort of just like bringing the running backs into the passing game. It's sort of like Derek Carr and Hurts are sort of like the check-down case.
Yeah, it's not like Kenneth Gainwell got, I don't know, 7 targets over the past 2 weeks on a total of like 30 snaps.
No, Nate, this is great because they get down to the 1-yard line and Nate's like, can Jalen Hurts and Kenneth Gainwell score on the same play? Is that possible? Yeah, spoiler, it's not, Nate.
Okay. All right. That's probably
enough. Hold on. I want to do like a side bet of which of these teams the Sims liked the most.
It can't be mine. I IKB'd Kenneth Gainwell. There's no way the Sims would have approved of that.
Oh, well.
What do you, because I literally have not played GPPs for week 18. How many years have we now been doing this? Like 4 years or something? Like week 18 is not actually like a good GPP slate. It's like, right? Like,
no, just like you're
way
just
too much
you're
fucking
just,
shit going
you're
on.
You're just clicking around. Yeah. You just are
you
like.
You can justify so much shit.
Yeah. Like, did I get David Bell or Ronnie? But did my 3K guy go for 27 or did he not? Like, it's. And because also the chalk is so clear. You know, like the best, not because only half the expensive guys will even be playing.
Well, yeah, there were even for cash, right? I mean, there was Lamb and Jefferson. There were no other plays you were like, holy cow, this is a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Like, the slate would have been funner if it was FanDuel, if we had the Josh Allen in the Dolphins game. That would have made it real fun.
Yeah. Next year on FanDuel, because Pete, I think this is the first year that we've done the group head to head where you guys took it. So I want to.
Yeah, you guys had beaten us all the previous years.
Yeah, I want to issue you a congrats. You know, we'll take the L on not using Nate's fucking Evan Engram lineup. And
you know what? I would rather lose with integrity than fucking win with Gainwell. Honestly, and ending my year capitulating to big Evan Engram. Like, no, thank you. Just not for me, dude.
Such a fish. You are such a fish. Honestly, week 18, the strategy should just be in tournaments. You play like the guys that would be in play in cash in any other week, but nobody plays, like the Breece Halls, Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, like all of those guys who are like, they project fine. We're like,
yeah, don't play all the shitty 4K running backs.
It took until 53 minutes in, but Nate did just make a salient and cogent point that I'm going to make a note to remember for next year for week 18. So not Kenneth Gainwell, not a guy who's been in play for zero slates the prior 17 weeks.
No, Kenneth Gainwell is not how you win week 18 GPPs, but it is how you win in cash.
Well, some may say.
Someone was just in my mentions that said, I built a cash team for the first time all season for the head-to-head against you, and I got 201 points. That's generational wealth if I had put it that lineup into GPPs. I got everyone to make their best lineup of the year and they had it in the wrong contest.
That would have smashed the Thunderdome.
That's really
Leone won the Thunderdome. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He won the Thunderdome with the four plays that you needed. Yeah. He just got James Conner and Shipper.
I also just want to say shout out to the true cash game king, Levitan. Like, we live in a world where I run the ETR optimal with a double stack on cash game week, and he IKBs it another 3v3 off of it. I think he had Richie James on his, but it's just like
Wiggins.
Know,
Wiggins was pushing the McBride team, I believe.
The McBride, yeah,
yeah.
I like literally. I'm not joking. You know, I had a lot of joke tweets this week, but I kept just being like, "You pay down at tight end. You pay down at quarterback. You pay down at tight end. You pay." Yeah. You know, he just coming back to that Mullins in the munt right there.
The mantra. I mean, Pete, your cash game week, the bit this week was just like completely off the rails. Like,
I think you were zoned in. This is the best the bit's ever been.
I knew we were gonna lose. I knew we were going to lose with how dialed people, in he was.
You knew it was good because at the end of the week, like, people were starting to get frustrated with it. Like, I was getting all of this private, just incredible feedback. And then, like, publicly, it was just starting to wear on people. And then I was like, that's where you're in the Goldilocks zone right there.
That's where Davis has essentially lived for his entire DFS career.
You need people to be a little mad at you all the time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got in some good ones too, where it's like the people that I was like quote retweeting, they're like changing their profile picture, they're deleting tweets. They're just like it was so good. The fantasy lawyer changed his profile picture and deleted like 6 tweets. That's how you know we're having fun online. And guess what? This is the thing though. I am done. Like, this week was a hellscape for me. Like, having to be tethered to my phone, replying to people on Twitter. I can now just go back to using X for like lightly promoting thing and trolling Davis's tweets and nothing else. Like, I'm done tweeting my every thought through a cash game lens.
As it was meant to be. But man, it was a good week. Good week.
But in 364 days,
we'll be back. Guys, like every single year, like if we really think about the decreasing relevance of cash games, I mean, this bit, it's either going to be incredible or sad in like a couple of years.
It's honestly the only time I would assume a majority of people ever think about cash, because people tell me they listen to the Gilcast and they're like, I don't play cash. Like, I never play cash. I just listen because it's funny. People don't care. If you look in like week 7, the amount of like, not the total number, but the amount of people who have like $5 head-to-heads posted, it'll be like 200 people, maybe. Maybe. And we like week 7. No one cares.
This is how Nate gets his action, because people can actually find his contests, you know, late in the season.
Yeah.
Nate's a purist. Having talked to him last night, he lives for the game. Like, even hopping in some of the you know, I went in the ETR cash game Discord, and I'm like, this is how you people live? Talking about these 2v2s all week.
and then they all just side with whatever Levitan or Wiggins tells them to do. In the end, they're all just like, I think Levitan's doing this, so I'm riding. Like, that's what it is.
they were all like, oh, Pete accepted my $200 one. And it's like, yeah, we're gonna fucking have the same line.
enjoy your at least you get the crown. I think you get the crowns.
So. Do you get the crowns?
If I sure hope so. When do I find out?
I don't know. I know that there are multiple high stakes grinders who tried to
they colluded?
They high stakes grinders who cheated to get the highest level of DK rewards. They would match each other in like very high stakes head to heads, and then the
games because they get the auto just, like, smash
crowns. Because you get the money back, but I think you get the crowns or the tier credits, so that gets you to the higher rewards level.
Man, we're doing it wrong.
Yeah, we are. DK can't even change my freaking username, and we got people.
It's brutal. All right, guys. Let's get out of here. Everyone, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for celebrating the holy cash game week with us. I don't know. You guys want to do this next week? Maybe, maybe not. We'll talk about it. We'll think about it.
Yeah,
maybe
TBD.
We will. Yeah, TBD. We will see y'all then. Thank you. Later.